IABC Ottawa presents The Voice.
The Voice offers expert insights and practical takeaways for people in the marketing communications industry.
We're sharing the latest ideas and issues with sector professionals.
What can we do to help you take your career to the next level?
I'm Angela Prokopiak, and this is The Voice.
So I'm Christina Martin. I am the Senior Manager of Communications at Actua. And Actua is Canada's largest science and technology, engineering and math, or as we call STEM, outreach organization in Canada.
I'm Elizabeth Jarvis. I am the Director of Marketing and Communications at 4-H Canada. And 4-H Canada is one of the longest running positive youth development organizations in Canada. And since then, we've been delivering program to youth across Canada between the ages of 6 and 25.
I'm Sophie Babinski. I'm a communications coordinator for Apathy is Boring and project manager for All Things 150 and Apathy is Boring. And our mission is to teach youth, and our definition of youth is 18 to 30, about democracy through art and technology.
Hi, I'm Angela Prokopiak, and this is IABC Ottawa's The Voice. We start with a thank you to our podcast sponsor, Thornley Fallis, an integrated communications agency serving clients across North America. Ottawa is the national capital city of Canada. This year, 2017, Canada is celebrating 150 years of nationhood. Recently, IABC Ottawa held an event at which representatives of a number of organizations told us how they were planning to celebrate Canada's 150th. For this podcast, we will talk to the communications professionals from three of those organizations who are joining in the 150 celebrations with a bit of a twist. Their work with Canadian youth could make the next 150 years even brighter. We'll talk to spokespeople from 4-H Canada, Apathy is Boring, and Actua. We'll find out how they plan to work with youth for their 150th events, what inspired those activities, and how they plan to reach their audiences and stakeholders, and how they'll track and evaluate their campaigns. First up is Christina Martin, Senior Manager, Communications at Actua. I began by asking Christina to tell us what Actua does.
Actua is Canada's largest science and technology, engineering and math outreach organization. We represent a network of 35 university and college-based members that deliver STEM programs to over a quarter of a million youth across Canada in over 500 communities in every province and territory, including the Northwest Territories.
Why is it to encourage Canadian youth to get involved in STEM activities and experiences?
So we believe that STEM underpins everything that we do, especially computer science, from your alarm clock to your toaster to your automobiles. And we think that youth need to develop and have opportunities, not just inside of the classroom, but outside, to take risks, to embrace failure, to try again, to identify problems that they want to solve within their communities. And we tie that together with science and technology practices and let them experiment with the best way, more innovative ways to solve these problems, which will help Canada in the long run and our organizations and companies and governments thrive on the global stage.
So who does Actua work with when you bring forward these activities and experiences for Canadian youth?
So as I mentioned, university and colleges across Canada, 35 of them. We hire over 1,000 undergraduate students in the science and technology fields to deliver this programming, which is really unique. So the youth ages 6 to 14 get a role model that's a little closer in age to them, who's pursuing education in these STEM fields and is giving them these hands-on experiences. So we have that level of university and college engagement, and then we also have our corporate funders.
So given what ACTUA does, why does ACTUA want to become involved or get involved in Canada's 150th?
We saw this as an excellent opportunity to celebrate Canada's innovation past. As you know, we have an incredible history of innovation and invention, but we're at a point now where we need to connect that historic innovation to future innovation and inspire our youth population to not just consume what's already there, but really inspire them to create their own new technologies and innovations. So we saw this as an excellent opportunity to take what we're already doing across the country, but on a more celebrated national platform in our 150th anniversary, to partner with other leading science organizations to do it in a big bang way and get youth, their parents, teachers, and even more companies and corporations aware of what we're doing and invested in that.
What will you be doing exactly to celebrate the 150th and get that big bang in the future going?
Yeah, so the Government of Canada selected ACTUA and four other leading science and technology organizations, and they've brought us together under the pillar Innovation 150. So to celebrate, exactly as I said before, Canada's innovation past while connecting Canadians to our innovation future. So ACTUA's part in this is a makermobile, and a makermobile is a makerspace on wheels. So we're bringing all the exciting workshops, activities we do normally on the road in a really exciting van with super dynamic instructors who are going to over 100 communities, engaging over 100,000 youth, 20,000 teachers. We've already started in BC. Yeah, it's going really well so far.
So if I take it back to the communication side of things, what are the communications goals for your 150th activities and the Makermobile?
When we first started, we had a blank canvas. So the government said, hey, yes, we support this idea of you bringing these exciting technologies to inspire youth across the country. But our target audience for this is more than that. As I said, it's parents, it's teachers to eventually bring these activities and the theories behind them inside their homes and inside the classrooms. So our goal is really to communicate that these what we're teaching on the road is accessible for parents and teachers to do in those places with their kids as well. And it's a great way to apply different social media tactics than we ever had before. We work with our different university members on a daily basis and use their content. But this is an opportunity for ACTUA to have its own makermobile that's going across the country and really leverage our current work across the country.
So from a communications and public relations point of view, what were the challenges that you were facing when you started out with this?
So I guess, in the early days, it was taking that blank canvas and doing the design of a truck that will be seen. We're expecting over 1 million impressions. And to integrate and represent in a balanced way our corporate funders, the Government of Canada, and the Innovation 150 brand, as well as ACTUA's brand. So it was really a visual challenge. So doing a design that was not painful on the eyes with tons of logos, but colorful, youthful, fun. And I think the end product, we really succeeded in that. And we're getting a lot of great feedback. We have more companies calling us day by day saying, hey, we want on there too. There's no more room. But absolutely, we're really excited about the opportunity it has brought. But at first it was a challenge, and we worked with a few different designers to really nail the look and feel of it.
Success is so hard. Eh?
Yeah.
So when you're done, how will you know that ACTUA has succeeded?
So I think even though it's early days, the fact that we're receiving so much interest already. We're only a month in, and we're receiving phone calls daily. Our social media activity has skyrocketed. One of our goals was to get more national media attention around our initiative to engage the federal government. So in each of the ridings, have an MP engage with where we are and to see what kids can do outside of the classroom.
So if a parent or a child or a youth that's interested in STEM activities is listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. or someone connected to them is listening to this podcast, how can they get involved with the Makermobile?
They can go on our website. We have listed already all the communities that we're going to be in across the country. And if you don't see your community there, you can send us an email. All the information is on the website. Contact us at any time. And again, it's not just restricted to the Makermobile. We're doing stuff across the country every day, every year. This is a unique time to celebrate Canada's innovation, history, and future. So if you want to be a part of that, then we definitely encourage you to get in touch.
Fantastic. Christina Martin in Actua, good luck and thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for agreeing to speak with us today. To begin our conversation, would you please tell me about 4-H? What is it exactly and what does it do?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having us. 4-H Canada is one of the country's longest standing positive youth development organizations. We began in 1913 in rural Manitoba, and since then we've been delivering programming to youth across Canada from the ages of 6 to 25, depending on the province, in areas such as agriculture, science and technology, community engagement, communications, and the environment and healthy living.
I'm sure I'm not the only one that maybe didn't know before they started researching 4-H, but what exactly do the 4-H's stand for?
Right, that's a great question that we get a lot. And so the 4-H's stand for head, heart, hands, and health. And it's really about what youth are committing to dedicating their head, heart, hands, and health towards bettering themselves and bettering their communities and the world really around them.
So the past couple of years have been fairly busy ones for 4-H. What have you guys been up to?
Absolutely. So it's been a really exciting growth time for 4-H in Canada. 2013, we celebrated our 100th anniversary. And in 2015, we launched a renewed brand. It was the first time in over 25 years that we had updated our brand and really was about bringing the visual brand to reflect where we are today. And that's a more modern 4-H, but still reflecting the heritage of our past 100-some years. We are thrilled this year in 2017 to be part of Canada 150 as a signature project. Very similar values to what we did with our brand relaunch. And also we're hosting a global 4-H summit in Ottawa in 2017. We're bringing close to 600 youth from around the world to Canada, to 600 youth professionals and volunteers to talk about 4-H, grow resources globally, and really talk about how we can advance this amazing movement around the world in the 70 countries that it is present in.
Before we get more into the activities you guys will be taking part in, why do you want to celebrate Canada's 150th? What's the big idea behind joining in the celebration? What does 4-H hope to achieve?
We were very fortunate to be selected by Canadian Heritage as one of the signature projects. We're one of around 40 signature projects that are being delivered around the country. And so for us and for Canadian Heritage, it's a really great opportunity to not only engage youth who are already really active in their communities, in so many communities across Canada, 4-H is really the hub for where communities come together and where generations come together, where parents and grandparents get a really great opportunity to interact with their youth and share skills and knowledge. But it's also an opportunity for us to reflect on the role agriculture plays in Canada's heritage and sort of the rich history of that, and also the opportunities for the next 150 years that rural communities and the agricultural communities will have in Canada, and talk about some of those topics that are important to Canadian families and to new Canadians around knowing where your food comes from and how to use our land sustainably, and talk about the environment and look at skills that are available to youth so that they can create opportunities and success for themselves.
Would you say those are your communications goals, getting those messages out?
Absolutely. So we definitely want to be sharing a great story of 4-H and giving communities the opportunity to tell their story and connect to others who could benefit from 4-H and be a really great addition to our program.
What are the challenges that you think you're facing from a communications and public relations point of view?
As we are a federated model, we don't necessarily always have direct communications to our membership. A lot of that is through our provinces. So we had to work really diligently with our provincial colleagues to make sure that we were giving them the tools to be able to go out and speak to their grassroots, especially in the grant that we are delivering. Making sure that 4-H'ers and 4-H leaders around the country knew that there was the opportunity to be a part of this project. And we'll have to continue to do that to make sure that communities are aware of the 100 to 150 events that will be happening in their communities directly. The other thing is that I think that there's either a lack of awareness or maybe some preconceived myths about what 4-H is, you know, the idea that it's just kids raising farm animals. And it is that, and we're incredibly proud of, you know, the skills that go along with that, but it's so much more. So how are we telling that story to Canadians about what 4-H is and really what it represents at the very core of it, the values of 4-H?
When you are done, how will you know that 4-H has succeeded?
I think a lot of it will be anecdotal. You know, obviously we're measuring where we're delivering the grants and how many people we're talking to, and there'll be those, you know, good hard metrics about where our materials get seen and the reach and that sort of stuff. But a lot of it will be anecdotal. So did we change perceptions? Did we hear any people saying, I didn't know about 4-H, or I didn't know that that's what 4-H did? And also just about whether we see any sort of increase in interest in the 4-H program.
Is there anything you would encourage people to do or look into if they're interested in finding out more about 4-H and its 150th celebrations?
A really great way to find out about celebrations in your community throughout 2017 and those 4-H celebrations that will be happening in communities across Canada is visit Passport 2017. Passport 2017 is the digital app that the Government of Canada developed and launched to be able to share everything that's happening across Canada in 2017. And people can go and find articles and events in their communities beyond just the signature projects. And it's a really great way to get involved. So all of our 4-H community celebrations will be on there. And also look for our PSA that we'll be launching in the springtime. We're really excited about that. And it's going to be a really engaging and vibrant way to celebrate Canada's youth and the opportunities available through 4-H.
That's wonderful. Thanks so much. Hi, Sophie. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk with us today. To begin our conversation, can you please tell me about Apathy's Boring? What is it exactly and what does it do?
Sure. So Apathy is Boring is a small national nonprofit. We're based out of Montreal. We've been around for 12 years, but we're by youth for youth. So management and administration has changed over those 12 years to maintain that by youth for youth authenticity. And we started as an organization that runs campaigns to get out the youth vote. Whenever I'm going to talk about youth, I'm usually referring to young Canadians between the ages of 18 and 30. Canada 150 has given us this great opportunity to sort of find out who we are outside of an election context.
How are you planning on celebrating Canada's 150th?
We have one of the signature initiatives funded by Canadian Heritage. Our project is called 150 Years Young. It's a storytelling project inspired by Humans of New York. We're working with 12 ambassadors from 5 cities across Canada, so Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Edmonton, and Vancouver. And they've gone out and done outreach and networking in their communities and gathered over 100 stories of youth in Canada who are doing really cool things. And we're hoping to disseminate that content in a variety of ways that we can touch on.
So what's the big idea about joining the celebration of the 150th? Why do you want to be part of it?
Apathy's Boring is nonpartisan, and we struggle to find opportunities to do outreach and inspire youth and sort of get youth involved in democratic life outside of an election context. And Canada 150 is a very unique opportunity that we see that we're able to do that.
As you celebrate the 150th, what are your goals for Canadian youth, for their political action, for their awareness building?
Our goal, generally speaking, is for youth to see that they have a lot of power that they can harness. So it's not necessarily to inspire them to go out and get more power, go out and take on more responsibility, but understand that the power that they have as a citizen of Canada, and like empower youth around Canada to feel equipped to handle the inevitable challenges that they're going to face over the next 50, 100, 150 years.
That's great. And what kind of activities will you be doing to celebrate the 150th? We started talking about them earlier.
Yeah, so a lot of the activity has to do with engaging already like very keen Canadian youth and encouraging them and giving them tools and resources to go out into their communities and create like networks and spaces where they can support each other and inspire their friends and their networks a lot on social media and stuff like that. So that's been a huge activity, is the inspiring of those 12 youth. They've gone out and networked with 100 other youth, so that's already a big success in terms of our activities. But then after that, we're going to be doing a dissemination campaign. So every day from April 24th, which is the start of National Volunteer Week in Canada,
agenda until we run out of stories. We're going to be putting one out on social media and on our website and on various channels and doing cross-promotion with those young people who are being featured. And then we're also doing two nights of projection installations in each of our five active cities. The way we're describing that is a creative intervention. We're not making an event, and we're not necessarily lecturing anybody who's passing by, but we're doing an art installation that's meant to make someone think, even for a second. And for us, that'll be sort of a success, I would say. But yeah, so we're doing those two channels. One's a little bit more traditional, I guess, social media, and then one is a little bit more artsy because that's our brand.
So what are the communications goals that you're trying to achieve through this?
The project in and of itself, I would say, is a communications campaign. The first thing I would say is brand awareness for us, Apathy Is Boring, and then a little bit more, one that has a bit more integrity, I guess, is to communicate, like I said, the power views and like the really cool things young millennials are doing. We want to communicate that to other millennials who maybe feel a little bit, not necessarily disempowered, but kind of, they don't really know what to do. They feel kind of lost in a rough economy or facing issues like environmental policies they don't like, and they don't really know how to leverage power that they have. So we were trying to lead by example, I guess. And then also to show baby boomers and older generation all the cool things that millennials are doing and sort of redefine what a Canadian millennial looks like, what civic engagement looks like, what volunteerism looks like. We're just trying to reframe all those things.
Tell me about the communications challenges and public relations challenges you face in trying to implement your plans for the 150th.
One important communications challenge is the definition of youth and what a millennial is and sort of working with that term. There's so much stereotyping around what a millennial is and all that kind of stuff, and there really is no one-size-fits-all millennial. It's a big challenge to communicate that to our target demographic because we're trying to tell a story about a specific type of person that actually is not a specific type of person, that is a big variety of people and like biggest, most diverse cohort of Canadians actually around. And then the other challenge is Apathy Is Boring is by youth for youth, and so we lack a lot of expertise. We do have a board and a council and some resources, but we are very green, and so that's the learning curve is quite steep.
How are you tackling these challenges?
A lot of our project relies on volunteer engagement and these 12 ambassadors that I spoke about earlier. And we did a very rigorous hiring process, and they've turned out to be like totally excellent volunteers. But other ways we're doing it is like really reaching out to our networks and asking for help. We're sort of just putting ourselves out there and getting lucky.
When you're done, how will you know if Apathy Is Boring has succeeded?
That's a hard one. In the past, like I said, we've done a lot of voter engagement campaigns. It's very measurable. This is a little bit more challenging just because the call to action is much less clear. So we're saying get involved. And there's so many follow-up questions. How? What does that mean? It is a challenge. Sort of comfortable saying we've already succeeded in the first phase of our project, which is keeping volunteers and partners engaged and sort of like creating that community, or maybe not creating it, but supporting it and reinforcing community of young people who are super eager to make Canada great and youth-friendly. So far, I would say we've succeeded just because we haven't lost any volunteers. We've collected so much like phenomenal content. Our definition of success, I really think, is, are we going to be able to run this again next year outside of the context of 150? Will we have created a demand for inspiring stories next year?
If someone listening wants to get involved with any of these activities or check them out, how should they go about it?
Yeah, well, they can follow us on Twitter at Apathy Is Boring, or Facebook at Apathy Is Boring, or go to our project website, 150yearsyoung.com. But the best way to engage with us, I would say, is through social media, using our hashtag. If they're in any of the five cities I mentioned, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton, we can even hook them up with our ambassadors, and they can come out to the projection sites or be part of our volunteer street teams. We have a lot of different opportunities.
Thank you, Sophie Babinski. And a big thank you to all three of our guests, Christina Martin of Actua, Elizabeth Jarvis of 4-H Canada, and Sophie Babinski of Apathy Is Boring. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show, and good luck to you as you celebrate Canada's 150th. Thanks to everyone for listening and joining us here today. The Voice is produced in Ottawa, Canada. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Amanda Speroni for producing this episode. Amanda is with Thornley Fallis, an integrated communications agency serving clients across North America. Visit ottawa.iabc.com for more information about this show and related resources. IABC is the voice of Ottawa's marketing and communications industry. I'm your host, Angela Prokopiak. Connect with me on LinkedIn and on Twitter at AngelPro1. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time.